All right. Y'all know what time it is. Time for Bout That Saved Life, BTSL Podcast. And I'm your host, EPD. Come on, let us get a little bit more of that undignified praise. All right, BTSL family, once again, welcome to another episode of Bout That Saved Life. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to come to you, and I thank you for tuning in with me. If you have not liked, if you have not shared, if you have not followed, go ahead and hit those buttons right now so that every time I come with the show, you'll be the first to know. So I won't let you down again today. I have not let you down yet. I'm not going to let you down today. I have some guests on the show. These are some young brothers that I have known for a long time. I knew them before they probably even knew themselves. But before I introduce them to you, as you know, I always start the show off with a word of prayer. So I'm going to ask one of our brothers to give us a word of prayer, and then we'll get right to the show.
All right. Close your eyes, bow your heads. God, first and foremost, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be here. Thank you for the success of Bout That Saved Life, God. We thank you for just for you being you, God. If you don't do anything else, you've already done enough. For the fact that you are God and you are the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God, we just want to say thank you for that. And God, I just ask that the success of Bout That Saved Life takes off, God. I pray, God, that this is a very, the vision that you have for it, God, I pray that is fulfilled, God. And I just pray that this is a good, solid podcast. Jesus, now I pray, amen.
Amen. So thank you for that prayer, brother. And now, BTSL family, let me introduce to you who's on the show today. That prayer that you heard came from Joshua Harris. Joshua Harris. Come on, let's give him a hand. All right. The next brother I have on the show, like I said, I've been knowing them for quite some time. His name is Antonio Hayes. Come on, give Antonio Hayes a hand. All right. So, Brother Josh, Brother Antonio, thank you so much for joining me today on About That Saved Life. I am honored that you guys have made a decision to come and have this conversation with me today. So first, I want to start off with you, Brother Josh. Just tell the BTSO family a little bit about yourself, and then we'll turn it over to Brother Antonio, and then we'll take it from there.
Well, like I said, thank you for having us, Uncle Donnie. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if you don't mind me calling you Uncle Donnie.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
Joshua, you know what I'm saying? David Joshua Harris, full name. I'm a musician. Play at Herald of Coming, Church of God in Christ, but I played at plenty of churches. You know what I'm saying? Have a band. Shout out Unified Sounds, my band. You know what I'm saying? We got an EP dropping sometime soon this month. You know what I'm saying? They're called The Right Track. But yeah, you know what I'm saying? Saved. You feel me? So. Yeah, that's about it.
All right, that's one thing about this generation. They don't mind dropping their advertisement no matter where they are, and I don't blame them. If you got something good going on, let the people know about it. All right, thank you, Brother Josh. Okay, Brother Antonio, talk to us.
I'm Antonio Hayes. I was born here, going to this church, born and raised in this church. Herald of His Coming. Known Uncle Donnie all my life pretty much, too. Like he said, he knew us before we knew ourselves. I'm a musician too. I play the drums. I came back to Virginia in 2016. My family moved around a lot, and we have been here since. And it's been a ride. It's been fun. I'm enjoying my time here. I'm saved. Been saved all my life. Going to church 22 years. Can't tell you when I wasn't going to church. So, yeah.
All right, Brother Antonio, thank you too for being with us today. So BTSO family, as you can hear, these are some brothers there from a younger generation. They're from Generation Z. And Generation Z, I believe they're born between the years of 1995 and 2015. So these brothers are in their early 20s. The one thing I like about what both of them said is that they're giving back to God what God has given them. God has given them that gift, that talent. Playing the drums, and also Brother Josh plays a little bit of keys as well, and he's allowing them to broaden their horizons and open that aperture up when it comes to the talents he's given them. But They are giving it back to God. The one thing I just want to say right up front is that the young kids out there today doing this kind of work, they can be doing it anywhere. They can be out in the clubs doing R&B music. They can be doing reggae music. And I know this because I did this. So I know that the opportunities are there for them to engage in. But thanks be to God that they are giving back to God what God has given them. So Brother Josh, Brother Antonio, you guys know what the show is all about. It's about talking about living a saved life in this present world. And the conversation that I want to have as the introduction states to my show is that I want to talk about this topic between all diverse groups of people, not just young people, not just old people, not just pastors, but I want to get a perspective, and then I want to share that perspective with others who may be inquisitive about the same thing. So Brother Antonio, I'm going to start with you, and just a basic question. In your mind, what does it mean? You know, you're growing up in the church, been in the church all your life. What does it mean to you to live a saved life?
To live a saved life for me is all personal for me. It's, as long as I'm doing what I'm doing for God and God is giving back to me, I'm giving back to God. And me and him, I know him. No matter what I'm doing, I'm not worried about what other people are doing. It's always personal for me and him. Like, I was always raised that, not technically, like, I would say you do need to be in the church to do it, but to have a relationship with God is always great. But you don't always have to be in the church. You can always get your word outside of the church. You can get, like I said, your walk is personal with him. So as long as you're getting that word, you're studying your word, you got a relationship with him, you know him, you're straight.
Amen. All right, Brother Josh, same question. What does it mean to you to live a saved life, to be saved?
Well, from what I've been taught, you know what I'm saying, what I've later learned and understood is that, well, first and foremost, you know what I'm saying, to be saved is to become saved, of course, is, you know what I'm saying, you have to do what it says in the Bible, you know what I'm saying, confess, you know what I'm saying, believe. Then once you go from there, living a saved life is just, it's strengthening your relationship with God. Because living a saved life is literally all about how your relationship, like Antonio said, is how your relationship is with God. Because, I mean, nobody can say anything about that. You know what I'm saying? There's things that you tell God that you're not going to tell nobody else. There's things that only God, you know what I'm saying? We all know God is God. You know what I'm saying? So living a saved life is just how your walk with God.
Okay, that sounds good. Now let's skip back a little bit, because both of you guys mentioned this, and Brother Antonio, you started by saying that, you know, when you're living a saved life, it doesn't mean that every waking moment that you have to be in the church, and in order to live a saved life, it doesn't mean that I won't have a saved life if I'm not in the church. Well, just based on that, how important is the church to you to be able to live saved?
Oh, this is very important for me to be in the church, because when you're, it's like anything else. You want to be in the atmosphere of what you're trying to do. If you want to produce and go farther in what you want to do, you want to be in that atmosphere of, it's going to help you when you're in the atmosphere of what you're trying to do. So being in church is very important to me. Every Sunday I try to get up and go. Of course, during Corona times, you know, we haven't been able to do it. We've been going to church, but like I said, it's very important. And my mom has always taught me it was more of a, it's like a hospital for me, because when you read the Bible, Jesus didn't really do all his work in the temple. It was in the church. It was always out in the streets.
Yeah.
So I see the church as a place like a hospital. You come back, you get renewed, you get refilled, you get, you know what I mean, all of that. And then you go back out and spread what you know.
Right.
And bring more to the church. You get healed. You get, you know what I mean?
Right.
You get refilled. You learn more about what you want to do.
Sure. So the Bible tells us that we're supposed to go out into the hedges and highways. Right. So if we're going out into the hedges and highways to bring them in, the only way we're going to bring them in is to go out.
Yeah.
Right. So if we always just say that the church is, you know, we got to just stay in here, and every Sunday we just preaching to the choir.
Yeah.
Right. We need to be going out and winning souls and bringing them in. And I ask that question because a lot of times today, and this is not just with your generation, it's across the board. Many people will say that I don't have to go to church in order to have a relationship with God. Now, on the surface, it's true that my relationship with God is not based on the church.
Yeah, at all,
but
right.
if you understand that the church is not the four walls, but the church is who we are. Yeah, exactly. We are the church, right? Exactly. So wherever I go, God should be there because I'm taking him when I go there. Yep. If you ever think about, you know, we say that God is sovereign, that he's omnipotent and he's omnipresent. Well, he's everywhere. One reason is because if we say he's in us, aren't we everywhere?
Right.
People are everywhere. So I like that analogy about church. You know, we have to have church. Church is a place, like you said, we come to get refilled, right? Or to get filled and to go back out. We fill up the tank on the weekend, on Sunday in the car. We drive all week long. Yep. But at the end of the week come, we need some more gas in that tank, right?
Mm-hmm.
We need some more gas. All right, Brother Josh, now, just like Brother Antonio, I haven't seen you. You've been playing the drums in the church for years. And both of you guys, have family members, brothers, right?
Yeah.
Sister, right? Who's in the church as well. And you've been around church and church folk a long time. So I know you've seen some things.
22 years, dog.
I know you've seen some things that maybe puzzled you. Mm-hmm. Let's just talk about one of those things. And I'll tell you what it is, all right? There are certain ways that even my generation may be taught. Mm-hmm. Your generation about the significance of going to church. And let's talk about how you should look, how you should dress when you go to church. Now, we know this is a audio podcast, so people can't see how we look right now. But I'll tell y'all, BTSL family, these brothers, they're saved brothers, but they don't look like what people stereotype folks to be in order to call themselves saved, which lets us know that it's not about a look that we have, but it's about the walk that we have. So, Brother Josh, talk to us about that a little bit, you know, about that expectancy of how you are supposed to, and not give air quotes with that, right, how you're supposed to look when you're saved.
It's funny because I started off with saying, I love when, like when I play, like I'm a musician, playing in churches. So I love when I go to churches, even when I'm here at the Herald, it's like, when I'm in the bathroom somewhere, like before service starts, people look at me. I got, my Jordan, some jeans.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Some t-shirt. You know what I'm saying? I got bracelets.
Streetwear.
You know what I'm saying? All that. So they looking at me and they just, you know, so I already know what they think and all of that. And then as soon as they see me on them drones, they be surprised. Like, I see them looking at me while I'm playing. It's just funny to me. But,
yeah.
I mean, and even right now, I got on a hoodie. He said, y'all can't see it. I'm going to tell y'all, I got on a hoodie. I'm taking my hair out so my hair look crazy. I got some slides on. You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, When back in the day, what was they wearing?
Yeah,
their toes out. They was wearing some sheets. You know what I'm saying? they was wearing some crazy stuff. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think. Now I do understand the only time to me when we're clothes really become a distract. It will become a problem is when it becomes a distraction. Like
if
your clothes is distracting what you're trying to say. You know what I'm saying? Anything that you're trying to do for God, then that's when it's an issue. But other than that, no, it don't matter. And even to go further than that. Because I know it's probably going to be a topic too, is tattoos.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I have tattoos, and I already know how the oldest saints feel about tattoos.
Yeah.
But and I know the scripture they like to use, but, I mean, that scripture wasn't really saying don't get tattoos. It was saying some other stuff. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's really, as long as your heart is right, you know what I'm saying? As long as your works are, you know what I'm saying, or it don't really matter what you're wearing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, because the belief is this, and it's not only a belief, but I think it's true, that when you become part of an organization, pretty soon you want to start looking like people who are in that organization.
Yeah.
And let's admit, when you guys were coming up, I mean, you're in your 20s now.
Yeah.
But when you were in your teen years, you wanted to look like everybody else.
Oh,
you wanted to have on the suit, the three-piece, or whatever was out at
like
that time.
Suits, I still like wearing suits.
Yes.
I still do, but you're right, though. You definitely
right?
Directly
facts. But then it was because you probably wanted to be like everybody else, and you thought that was the way maybe you had to be because everybody else was like that. But now when you come into the knowledge of the truth yourself, you realize that it's not that I have to look that way in order to have a relationship with God. Now, but I do believe you two also understand that there was a reason why the older saints wanted to look that way because they call that giving God their best.
Yes.
And when they give God their best, they say, if I'm going to go somewhere else and put it on, when I go to church, I'm going to put it on, too.
Definitely.
And guess what? It's okay to think that way.
Yeah, you know,
but just don't make that the crux of it, right?
Yeah, yeah,
you got to make sure that relationship is lined up with God.
That's the most important part.
Amen, amen. That sounds good. Okay, so we talked about the clothing a little bit. Let's talk about some peer pressure. All right, coming up in you guys' era and your generation, and like I said, you're in your early 20s now. coming through high school and being introduced to several things, being introduced probably to drinking and marijuana and smoking cigarettes and all those things and clubbing, you know, five out of seven nights a week or whatever the case may be. How is the peer pressure on you guys at your age and living safe? I'm gonna start with you, Josh. Go ahead.
Like I said, born and raised in the church, so it was kind of easier to really curve the peer pressure. Like, it was always there, definitely, you know what I'm saying? Even caved into some of them, you know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna lie, nobody, you feel me? But but it was definitely a lot easier, though, already knowing that having that foundation, you know what I'm saying, in God, and having that, you know what I'm saying, foundation, knowing who God was and knowing how powerful he is, knowing that he's real and knowing, you know what I'm saying, all of these things, it definitely made, and praying, too, like, I like praying. You know what I'm saying? Since I was younger, you ask my moms, ask my grandma, they'll tell you I'm praying. You know what I'm saying? So that helped with a lot of stuff. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it was bad, but it was a little easier. I'm not even gonna lie.
Okay.
I don't
know. Yeah.
Okay. Had an advantage being in the church.
Yeah.
Because you got the foundation. You know what it is. So you try your best to not make him mad or anything like that. Well, not really make him mad, but go against what you believe.
Right,
you know?
Right. So,
for me, peer pressure, if I don't want to do anything, I'm
right,
not going to do it.
Definitely.
I'm not going to say that I would forget my religion or nothing like that, or forget my Christianity, my beliefs or nothing like that.
Right.
But even if I didn't have that, if I didn't want to do it, I wouldn't do it. Yeah. So,
right.
I was even raised to believe that,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
When the peer pressure wasn't really a...
Yeah, see, you guys are cut from a different cloth than a lot of other people your age, because folks cave in to peer pressure.
Definitely.
They cave in.
I watched it.
Yeah, but when you have the mindset that you do, to say, you know what, I don't matter what come, what go, I know what's right and what's wrong. And the only reason I'm going to do wrong is because I want to do wrong.
Right.
Not because I'm being pressured into doing wrong. All right, so Brother Josh, you mentioned, you know, you said, hey, you know, I didn't dot every I, I didn't cross every T, you know, I stumbled and fell along the way. I mean, sure. If it's not too much to share, can you tell us one way and how you stumbled along the way?
He said which way I stumbled. I guess it's just sex. That's an easy one.
Okay. All right, sex. Okay, so now let's look at that. Let's be real candid about it, because we all adults here.
For sure.
So, we know that God made woman, right, to be a helpmeet to man,
right?
But he also made woman to be appealing and pleasing to the eyes of man as well, right?
Definitely.
And I can tell you and share some testimonies with you from leadership in the church who will say that, you know, hey, if you think you so saved and that you won't succumb to this or succumb to that, you know, since you're talking about sex, you know, he was talking about going down to Virginia Beach to the waterfront, you know, and just walking down that boardwalk and seeing all the ladies out there, all the girls out there in the swimsuit, you know, see how saved you really are.
So what
that meant for us was that you couldn't put yourself in a compromising situation.
Right.
But when we do put ourselves in a compromising situation, sometimes that spirit of carnal mind will override that spirit of the spiritual mind. And then you find yourself falling. So, and with younger people and all people, let me not say that, with all people, I think one of the things that most people do succumb to is having sex before they get married, right? And it's not that you just out trying to sex up everybody you see, but it's what
like people.
Exactly. But it's what appeals and what's pleasing, right? So you got sex, you got, you know, you get to smoking and drinking and all that kind of stuff. But it's after you do it, and you feel that, and you see the wrong in it, what do you do with that? After you do something like that, and you know that, hey, that wasn't the right way for me to do that, it wasn't the right road to go down.
Oh, that becomes your testimony, for sure. That becomes my testimony. Because I tell people that, you know what I'm saying?
It's conviction.
Yeah, number one, that is the right after that is conviction. If you want to know what happens right after that, conviction.
That's literally number one.
That's what it is. But when you're talking about what you do with that, that's your testimony. You know what I'm saying? That's what you, because it's like, One thing that's really, I feel like, I'm not going to say is a problem, but one thing that's really like an issue, I guess, another word for problem, but is the transparency. Like, people are really transparent, you know what I'm saying, especially in the church. And I feel like if people would be more transparent with their, you know what I'm saying, then it would be, I would that's what you're supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? That's part of your testament. Like you said, everything, that smoking, drinking, having sex, and whatever your crutch is, that's your testimony. That's what you're supposed to use it for.
Right. So and that's something I learned too from just talking with you guys, talking with folks your age, that the desire is that the older people in the church, the older folks that are saved, would be more transparent and don't come at you all like we, you know, have dotted every I, crossed every T, and we live such a perfect life. And I agree with you, Brother Josh. I believe that some of the things that people want to hide is the very thing that God is trying to use in them to bring someone else closer. Because truth be told, I don't care where you look, there's always somebody who is dealing with what you're dealing with, or is going to deal with what you dealt with, right? Or has dealt with what you're going to deal with. Right. There's somebody who can benefit from hearing your testimony. Now, the testimony, of course, is not that the devil beat me running. No, the testimony is that I beat the devil running, right? Right. You know, sometime in the church now, folks will testify. That's why you don't have it too much anymore. Folks get up, testify, and talk about how the devil beat them up all week long. Then they sit down, and they don't give God any credit. They don't say they got the victory. Yeah. So whenever we go through anything like that, there's nothing wrong with you know disclosing some things. Now I will tell you that some things you should just keep to yourself between you and God. But when you see that what I dealt with, I can help somebody. Maybe we should take that opportunity to do that. And I think really it shows that realism, that reality that, you know, that we all have dealt with. And then we can talk about how I got over, and it may help you to get over the same.
Definitely.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about this a little bit. We talked about being in the church. What do you think about the church services? What I mean by that is for many years, we have this model. We have this model.
A structure
of church. And we know what it is here. And there's that one line that we have in our program that says that this service is subject to change by the move of the Holy Spirit. And we definitely abide by that on Sunday morning at the Herald.
Definitely.
Somebody going to get their bump in and we're going to be bumping.
Yep, for sure.
But on the whole, on a larger scale, how do you feel about church structure? I'll start with you, Antonio.
I feel like I don't really have an opinion on it, but I would say, like, I like the structure, but sometimes I feel like it's too like we follow it too much,
too rigid.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it's a couple things. It's like we do it to a T. It's the same thing. You know what I mean? Like I feel like you said, the program has that saying. Subject to change.
Right.
I feel like we should abide more towards that than our structure. Like, I get that there's some things that we need to do, some things that we have to do, some things but some of the stuff is man-made. You feel me?
Okay.
So I feel like some of it is something that's stuff that we created you know what I mean, for us. But we should gear more towards following the Holy Spirit, praising God, what we came to do, learning all of that.
All right, Brother Josh, same question. I mean, our church structure, I mean, how you feel about that?
So when you say structure, you're talking about like the service, right? The service structure or?
Yeah, like, you know, Brother Antonio said that it can be too rigid sometimes where we don't allow the Holy Spirit to move. But even aside from that, just what about the structure altogether? Are we come in? At a certain time we do this, a certain time we do that, and then the next time we do this, and you know, do you feel like it should be more free flowing?
I mean, one, I definitely feel like it should be more free flowing, because it's like a lot of the structure of our services is just simply there off of tradition. You know what I'm saying? Some of it don't even mean nothing no more. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like it's. Churches sometimes become like a kind of like a just if people can time the church. Me and my brother Kier, we talk about this all the time. Like if we can sit there and time when stuff is going to happen in the service, that's a problem. You know what I'm saying? Because now it's not a service. I feel like I'm in school or something. Like I feel like I'm in class. Like it's service, becoming, yeah, it's becoming like too scheduled. You know what I'm saying? This is not a schedule. I feel like now I know there needs to be structure. I'm not asking. You know what I'm saying, for no structure. I know there needs to be. You know what I'm saying? Some form of something. But right. is it's too much. You know what I'm saying? People, it becomes a performance. Like once people, once you have like such a time schedule thing, it becomes like work. Like to me, being a church can't be a musician in church. Church was never, Sunday was never really an off day because you know what I'm saying? You always got so much to do afterwards. But it's like, the best thing about doing all that was that during service, mm-hmm. I could just let go. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But if I have to work Monday through Saturday, you know what I'm saying? Then being a church musician, church worker, you know what I'm saying? I'm doing work in church outside of service. Then when I get to the service, I still have to abide by like a set schedule. And right. then after that, there's no break. You know what I'm saying? There's no break for you to just express who you are and be right. free. And, you know what I'm saying?
Have your personal time with God. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Sometimes right. in service, being a musician, you know what I mean? It's always, sometimes I feel like I can't give my time to God and have my personal time with Him and worship Him. Even though, you know, playing is my way, is one of my ways, one of my forms of giving back to God and having my personal time. But sometimes since we're abiding by a schedule, you know what I mean? If I'm not done, I still have to move on.
Right.
Because I'm the church drummer, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If
wrap it up.
The rest of the church is moving on.
You're the trust just tearing up.
Yeah.
Facts.
You gotta keep going.
Nah, but like, sometimes it's like that. So like he said, sometimes I wish it was a more free-formed type service, but
we do understand, however, though, that you know, in church, the Bible even lets us know that we must do what we do in decency and in order, right? So we got to have some form of structure. It sounds like what you guys plea is that, hey, you know, instead of being so structured all the time, allow the Holy Spirit to move and allow God to work.
Yeah, sometimes it feels strict.
Yeah.
You're restricted from
right.
giving your all.
It don't even got to be long. Because I know a lot of times where people get into that, they make you think like, oh, you want it to be a long. No,
yeah,
you don't got to be in church for no 6-7 hours. You know
right.
what I'm saying? We can be in there for a certain amount of time. I mean, the time don't really matter as much. But, yeah, you don't got to be in there forever.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just make it a little free-flowing.
I'm going to tell you, this is not far-fetched for you guys to think that way. You know, being in the Navy for many years and going over to Europe, over in Europe, in European countries, timeliness isn't really of the essence as it is here in the United States. You know, everything we do here, we got to do it on time.
Right.
You know, if it's 4 o'clock, it's 4 o'clock. Like when we talked about coming out here to the church and I said, mm-hmm. hey, I need you to get there that time. I need you to be there at that time. Well, in European countries, it's not so much strict on time. You know, they say, if we need you to meet us here at 4:30, they may say, okay, well, we'll get there somewhere between 4:30, 5:30 or so. And that's just what it is. And if they don't get there, they say, okay, well, we'll just do it tomorrow. Let's do it tomorrow. But I kind of understand. I kind of understand that relaxed attitude as you guys talk about it when it comes to service and when it comes to giving to God. Because I have to say, I understand it. Because even when, like, if I go into my own little thing of wanting to spend time with God, wanting to spend time, then I don't want to be crushed for time.
Right.
I want to be able to take my time and do what it is that I'm going to do.
It's needed.
Because it's needed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And we get to church sometimes, and I'll be honest with you, I'll be the first to say that when the Spirit get to moving in the church and the musicians get to going and the bump get to going, I'm with y'all on that. Y'all know I'm 100%.
Yeah,
if I could watch y'all do it and just really enjoy that, I'm down for that. But I also know that at some point, we got to end that so we can get to the real reason why we came, which was and which is the Word of God.
Yes.
Amen.
Has to be a balance of stuff.
Has to be a balance. I like that. Okay, so let's talk about it. Just think in your mind while I'm setting this up. You know, coming through church, coming up in church, there were some rules and things that you were told not to do. And I'm going to let you tell me whether or not the reason not to do it was explained to you. Hopefully it's something that wasn't explained. And then the older you got, when you started or continued to ask the question why and was never answered, you came into the answer why. It may not have been their answer to you, but it was now your answer to you as to why you know that would not have been good for you. Okay? All right, Josh, you got an example? Something like that?
You said example. I don't really have a specific example, but it's just like a lot of stuff. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Okay,
like,
so name one.
He said name. I knew he was going to do that. Let's see. Something
about going to club.
Going to the club.
How about clubbing?
I was gonna go something a little simpler, but okay. with the clubbing idea, I'm not even gonna lie. The reason I don't like clubbing, like I don't really like people. I'm not really an outgoing people person, you know what I'm saying? But when it comes to like certain things, not hanging out with certain people, okay, I'll say that. Like being careful who, you know what I'm saying, I hung around. You know what I'm saying? That was something I was really told a lot when I was younger, and especially when it come to your like being around people who are also saved. You know what I'm saying? Because when I was younger, a lot of my friends weren't saved. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
In the neighborhood I was in, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people weren't going to church. They were just out. You know what I'm saying? So
sure.
When my moms and whatnot made it real important, made them real stress to me that you need friends who are also just be around people who had the like-minded view.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When I was younger, I had to lose friends, you know what I'm saying, that I really liked. I had to stop hanging around people, and they would tell me to stop hanging around people, and I'd be mad, you know what I'm saying, at that moment. And I know the stigma with our generation is that we like to ask why, and we do. But when I was younger, though, I definitely didn't ask why. Because
right.
What I did, you know what I'm saying, I was getting popped when getting no answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So learned real quick not to really to ask why. I just, you know what I'm saying, just it is what it is until I got older. And then, you know what I'm saying, it was later explained. And not really saying it was seen because a lot of times they were right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Those people that I was hanging around with were ended up, you know what I'm saying, doing whatever. And so, yeah.
Okay. I like that. I like that, Josh. And here's the thing with that. I know y'all mamas. and I know that if y'all ask why, like right now, y'all probably wouldn't have all your original teeth or something like that. You know, I already know that. But I'm gonna give you. We're gonna take a commercial break right quick. But Antonio, when we come back, I want you to answer that same question. You know, just talk about something that when coming up, you know, it was so forbidden, it was so taboo, and it wasn't explained to you why it was forbidden. But as you got older, you saw the reason why, and now you even understand why they stressed it so much. All right, BTSO family, just stand by for a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with you.
COVID-19 has caused a movement towards social media by many of our local churches. Sure, many churches were doing live broadcasts of their Sunday morning services, but that was the extent of it. I want to take this opportunity to not only invite you to our Sunday morning broadcast, but also to our Sunday school and Tuesday night Bible study. We believe that our continuing to spread the good news of Jesus is a must, even in a time such as this. We invite you to join with us, the Herald of His Coming Church, on Facebook Live and YouTube Live every Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. and every Sunday morning for Sunday school and morning worship services at 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. respectively. We welcome you to our worship experience and pray that God will continue to richly bless you and your family. We look forward to seeing you there. God bless you.
All right, BTSO family, we're back in the house now. And once again, we want to say thank you to our guests that are with us today, Brother Joshua Harris and Brother Antonio Hayes. And for those who are just coming back with us, this is BTSL, About That Saved Life, where we talk about and have that conversation about what it means to live saved. And the brothers on the show today are from the Generation Z, young teenagers, but they are saved, living a saved life. And I'm glad that they're with us to have this conversation. Now, Brother Antonio, before we left, I hit Brother Joshua with a question about something that was so taboo and forbidden when he was younger, and now that he's much older, in his young 20s, early 20s, that he sees exactly why that thing was taboo. Anything like that for you?
So my family was always, they was in, like I said, we was raised in the church, and like he was talking about structure in the church, and we used to, you know, every, I think, second Sunday, it was different. We went to a whole bunch of churches, so it was like a different day for communion. But for our family, it was like we couldn't take communion until we told them, told them why we're doing it. And we was like, why can't we do it? Like, we couldn't, like really asked like why, and they wouldn't give us an answer why.
Okay.
And I was just like,
you just wanted to drink the juice and eat the bread.
You know, being young, you see other people doing it, and you just like, you want to do it too. So it was like, we just for years, like it got to the point where we just was always taught to, no communion. But
I still be scared.
Yeah, even to this day, I still don't take communion. But I know why we take communion. I don't want to, you know, damn my soul because I'm taking communion for the wrong reasons. Taking communion just because I want to take a communion because, and I'm still living wrong. You know what I'm saying? So it's, for me, I know the reason. I understand why my mom and my dad was like, nah, y'all can't take communion. Y'all done. And they wouldn't give us an answer why. So like, until we figured it out for ourselves.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So now that I know, and
okay,
you know what I mean? It's
all right. Now, you know, I got to hit rewind real quick on this. All right. Now you say that you don't take communion now.
Yeah.
Right. You said because you don't want to bring damnation to your soul. And that's what the Bible tells us, right?
Yes, sir.
To he that does it unworthily brings damnation to themselves. All right. So you say, I don't take it now because I know I'm doing wrong. All right. So now you got to qualify that for me because you both said that you were saved, but you say you don't take communion because you know you're doing wrong. I need you to qualify that. Exactly. What do you mean when you say that?
I've confessed with my heart and with my mouth, and I've accepted him, but I still do things that I used to do. You know what I mean? Like, I still, sometimes I, you know, I sin, I smoke sometimes, or I, like you said earlier, have sex sometimes. And there's certain things that I know I do that I'm just like, I don't feel comfortable.
Okay. So how do we get past doing the things that we know that brings conviction to us? Because that's the first thing right there. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
You know, if you did things and had no remorse about doing it at all, that would be a problem.
Nah.
But when you do something and you have a problem with it, you feel remorseful and you take action, like you say, not taking communion, there's something to be said about that. But at the same time, what do you do to keep from falling into that same trap? You know, in life, we're going to have valley experiences, right? But you don't want to have the wilderness experience. You don't want to just keep going around in circles. You go through the valley experience and you fall in there and you learn in there and you move on to the next mountain, to the next valley, to the next mountain, to whatever the case may be. But in a wilderness experience, you just stay there. So how do you make sure that what you're doing doesn't become a wilderness experience till you never get to take communion?
Well, me personally, when I always try to strengthen myself, I listen to words, I read my Bible, and I pray, and I ask God to forgive me for what I've done. I pray a lot after I do it, whatever I do. Like I said, conviction is definitely a heavy thing that I know it hits me hard.
Yeah.
Like, and so it's always been, it's a learning curve for me. I'm always trying to do better. And as it gets better, it's a, like I said, it's a daily thing. It's a personal walk. So every day I try to do better.
Yeah.
And I know at some point I'm going to be good.
Yeah. Well, let me encourage you that, you know, there's not a one out there that's walking 100, you know, every day. But we just have to be sure not to fall into the trap of the enemy and allow the enemy to keep us from doing the things that God has purposely designed for us. And trust me, being able to partake in communion is something that is so close to God. It's almost like a sealing of a relationship. I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit, but it's that sealing of the relationship to know that as I partake of this bread, you know, that as often as you do this, do so in remembrance of me. This is my body.
Yeah.
When we drink of that wine, you know, this is representative of the bloodshed on the cross for us. And it makes that connection with us that we have with God that's unlike any other connection, right, that we could have with anyone else. It's symbolic of the relationship we say we have with him. So when we get back to talking about that relationship, when we say, hey, the one thing you hear people say nowadays is that, you know, you don't know my relationship. And normally when people say that, that is a defense because they know that they really don't have much of a relationship, right? So people that ain't just that me, right?
Nah, when people say that, that means they wilding.
They wilding out, right?
He's doing just too out much. There, yeah.
Yeah. You don't know my relationship. But at the end of the day, we do know your relationship.
Yeah. Right.
Because your relationship, if it's right, is going to cause you to want to do right and be righteous.
You
and you'll find yourself doing
it. It's
going to show, everything's going to show. You know what I'm saying? How you live is whatever's inside will always come out. You know what I'm saying? Like even with your words, like if you talk crazy and all that, it's because you crazy on the inside.
You crazy.
Like not literally crazy, but you know what I'm saying. Like you got stuff you gotta work out. You know what I'm saying? So it's gonna show. We do know you know your relationship about it.
Yeah, so it's just one of those things where you just have to make sure that, hey, you know, devil, you're not gonna continue to win. I know I messed this up. I know I messed that up. But one thing I'm not gonna do, and I shared this with someone on another interview I had, another podcast I had, a guy told me before, he said, you know, we need to get smarter about this thing. You know, stop doing the same thing over and over again. Find something else new to do. You know, you know, find something else. And he says it, you know, and it's comical when we say it, but it's so true.
That's real.
Because we get into this spiral, this downward spiral, and we never get out of it. Right. So I just want to encourage you, Brother Antonio, hey, whatever it is you need to do to get out of that state, because communion is something you want to keep putting that off and putting it off.
Yeah.
However, I applaud you for not just doing it to be doing it.
Yeah.
I applaud you for that. But what it makes you think is it makes you question, for me, it will make me question my walk with God. Am I growing? Am I maturing?
Yeah, me
right? too. Amen. All right, Brother Josh. All right, now, we go back to that comment I made earlier about knowing y'all mamas. All right. And I've been knowing Brother Josh's mother for years too. Great family, his mother, his grandmother, and he was brought up in the church just like Brother Antonio. But Brother Josh, he's kind of come up under the reins of other people before him. He has an older brother that is a drummer, and he had him to glean from. I've been in his life all his life. He's had me to glean from. So early I mentioned about being around the church and seeing a lot of things.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you this question first, and then Brother Antonio, I'm going to come back to you. What is something that you've seen in people that have come before you that has encouraged you to walk righteously?
Well, from what I know, I'm pretty sure he listens to these, my brother Kier. So I know when you hear this, he's going to be a sentimental kid, probably for but like somebody like Kier, you know what I'm saying? It's just, like I said, being raised in the church, I've seen people in church and how they act outside of church, you know what I'm saying? And 22 years, you know what I'm saying? So even when I was young and people weren't thinking I was seeing stuff, you know what I'm saying? I was still seeing that, you know what I'm saying? And then just getting older, seeing crazy and, you know what I'm saying, all of that. But having like somebody like as my brother, you know what I'm saying, so close to me. Wow, I see him in church, at home, all of this. So I already know how he is and how he was. And seeing the person he is now, you know what I'm saying, especially spiritually and everything, it's real encouraging. Cause I ain't gonna, you know what I'm saying, that's my brother, but yeah,
he was a mess. Growth.
Yeah, nah, for real. I love him, but nah, he was definitely crazy. You know what I'm saying? But his growth in God and his growth in his and just himself, the confidence that he's had, that he's been getting himself. You know what I'm saying? It does encourage me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Even you. You know what I'm saying? Because who would have thought you would be? We all knew you were gonna be pastor eventually, but being executive pastor and stuff like that, it's like, You don't like people. You like to be to yourself, and you know what I'm saying. Like, you know what I'm saying. Who would have thought? You know what I'm saying. So it's just seeing stuff like that, and just seeing people who I saw coming up were even people who I thought were great coming up. You know what I'm saying. Still seeing them be great.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying. As I get older, it's just, you know what I'm saying, it's great. You know what I'm saying, Pop Sue, Mom Sue, all of y'all. You know, some grandma, moms, literally everybody who I've been in contact with.
Yeah.
Since coming up in the church has been an inspiration. Honestly.
Yeah. Like, it's good to know and good to hear that, you know, you've lived a life that people have been able to watch and glean from you. And even when you make mistakes, when you fall, you know, people don't hold that over your head as long as you come back correct, and get it right with God. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And you're right. You know, and your brother, you've had a good example to see, you know, how you can grow from where you are, where you are right now.
Definitely.
And you've been there with him, lived with him, and you guys have been through some trying times together. But here's the thing. No matter what you go through together, when you get to the other side, when you get to the end, and that relationship has matured. Yeah. Both of you guys are the better because of it.
Definitely.
All right, Brother Antonio.
So I will say my mom has always been my number one. My mom, my dad, or specifically my mom, because I've lived with her for pretty much my whole life. But when I'll say my most encouraging moments pretty much was pretty much when I moved here and I started coming here, like just watching Josh, watching Kier, watching you, watching Pop Soul. Just the journey I've been in this church has been very encouraging.
Okay.
And the people that I met here, watching, you know, like Aisha and all of them and stuff like that, and watching them grow.
Yeah.
Has always been encouraging to me. Just
yeah, that's
like a whole bunch of.
I'm gonna tell you, you just said something that really kind of just struck me, reminded me. I do recall when you first came back here. I recall when you first came back, and because I picked your mom, I saw your mom right away and remembered her. But y'all had grown, you know, from when you were here before, and then you got up on the drums. And I think, I don't know if it was Josh who was up there at the time or Kier was playing. And you got up on the drums, and I was looking back at them like, what are y'all doing? what are y'all doing?
Man, you know? And timid.
You were very timid. And but look how time has changed from the way it was to where it is right now. And trust me, that timidness was probably well placed. But when you allow God to come in and use you for his glory, the timidness goes away. Yeah, I mean, I don't see any timidness in you at all anymore. I mean, now you got ideas and you want to do this, you want to do that. And for me, I think that deserves an applause because sometimes people will stay timid, you know, and you never be able to get in the groove. You always got to be told what to do and how to do it. Well, that same thing is how we should apply when we talking about when we live and save for God.
Right.
You know, when we first get in this walk, we may be timid about some things, right? Mm-hmm. We may be unsure about a lot of things.
Definitely.
But as we begin to watch people, we should be able to watch people who have come before us and learn what holy living is about.
Yeah.
So for me, I would be just messed up. If your testimony was, you know, I did learn right from wrong, but you weren't the one to show me. All I ever seen you do was this, that, and the other.
Right.
You know, you never once had a conversation with us. I ain't never seen you say anything good about the word to me. You ain't never tried to encourage me.
Right.
But that's something that for me, when it comes to y'all, how y'all have a real special place in my heart. I mean, like Brother Josh said, I'm not really that much of a people person. But for people who are around me, who I consider my family, for them, I'll be all the people you need me to be.
Yeah, right.
If you may have to engage me first. Okay, I'll take the hit on that.
I know.
But when you do, I'm like, okay, I'm all ears. You want to talk about? And I'm going to give you what I have to give you.
Yep.
All right, let's move on a little bit. Let's talk about politics. And I know that you guys know coming up through school, I came up through school too, and our very own constitution lets us know that there should be a separation between church and state. Well, we know that. Yeah. Okay. Come on, brother Josh, you go ahead.
It doesn't exist. Church, the whole idea of that is, I feel like it's just the head figurehead. Like, I feel like that's what that statement is. It's like a figurehead. Cause like, I feel like that statement's only there just so people can say that's there.
Okay.
When in reality, church and state has never been separate. Like, why we have politicians coming to churches if church and state been different? Why do we, you know what I'm saying? Why are pastors becoming politicians of church and state? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a lot of.
He's the base, bro. It's the base. It's the foundation for a lot of things.
Right. The church moves like a government sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's really hard to say that when there's too many political influences in church.
Yeah. And when it comes, and you're right, when it comes time to vote for elected city officials, they coming around the churches and trying to
get them church people votes.
Trying to secure votes. Well, let's talk about it from a perspective within our church, and then we're going to talk about outside it as it pertains to our upcoming presidential election.
Right.
But within the church, we vote in the church. I mean, in our church, you know, the Church of God in Christ. And y'all have heard me say this before. I love my church, but I love the Bible more.
Definitely.
But being a part of the church, then I'm just that. I'm a part of the church, and I'm willing to be governed and ruled by its regulations.
Right.
So when we talk about voting in the church, how you guys feel about that, about voting in the church? For instance, when we have to vote in, you know, we vote in our leader. We vote in our national bishop for the Church of God in Christ worldwide. How you guys feel about that?
You gonna say something?
I'm still thinking.
I feel like it should be appointed. You know, so I feel like it should be not really appointed, but like I don't feel like we should be voting for stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Because that's how it becomes political.
Okay, so if we don't vote for it, here's your platform. Yeah. What's the alternative?
God, what did the Bible say about that? don't come ask me. What did the Bible say about that? That's what we should be governed by anyway, right?
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? The church has become two people ran. You know what I'm saying? Two people thought. Like, we move too carnal. You know what I'm saying? We move way too carnal. Because once you vote, and that's what do people do for votes? You know what I'm saying? Okay. What are you willing to do for votes? You know what I'm saying? And you think church people don't do nothing that a secular person would know. Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, I feel like really, what do the Bible say?
Well, so if you say what would a church person do to gain votes, right? Yeah. In order to win.
Yeah.
So if you say that voting is not preferred for you and you say, hey, we should let God do it. You know, biblically speaking, whoever the king was at the time, they would make it known who their successor would be.
Right.
And then the people would already know that. And they would, when that person passed on, that successor would come.
Right.
But the people would have to be in agreement with who that successor was, because at times when the people were not in agreement with it, then it didn't go well.
Right.
And if you, I don't know if you remember, but when the people wanted King Saul, and God got offended, quite offended, because he said, I'm your God, I'm your king, you don't need him. Right. But they wanted him. So God let them have him.
Yep.
And he messed it all up, Saul, but it's what the people wanted. Well, that thing kind of happens today, too. Yeah. So if the people get to vote for who they want, the thought is that the direction we're going in, we're going to get where we want to go because we're following behind a leader who we all approve of.
Right.
But if someone is appointed and the people don't approve of that leader, then you heard Bishop say a lot of times, Bishop Sewell say, if you're a leader and you ain't got nobody behind you, you just a man out for a walk.
Uh-huh. Right.
Right. So I'm not saying I disagree with that. I'm just playing the devil's advocate and saying that, you know, what's the alternative if we can't have someone lined up ready to go who the people want? And you put someone in there who the people don't want. I mean, you know, it's kind of a rock and hard place.
Yeah,
it's kind of rock and hard.
I feel like us as church people should be able to understand that our nothing as a Christian, as a, you know what I'm saying, as a believer, you should already know that your will doesn't matter. I'm not gonna say it don't matter, but we live for God's will. You know what I'm saying? We want God's will done in our life. We need to understand that. We need that done in the church too. You know what I'm saying? Like, so. Like you just said that they wanted Saul so bad and it went downhill. So why would we do the same thing of voting people in that we want so bad that we feel like? But what are your personal reasons? You know what I'm saying? Everything is perspective. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I feel like we heed too much to people's feelings, too much to people's perspective rather than the whole overall picture. Because the truth is the truth no matter what.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So if we just focus on that, you know what I'm saying, then if whoever God wants to be in place, that should be in place. It doesn't matter what we say. You know what I'm saying? And I don't even care who has a problem with it. Honestly, you saying what about people's feelings? I do not care. I'm not even one of those people where it's like, if you got a problem with it, you... It's gonna sound mean, but if you'd be in position to where your pop, where what you care about would matter, you know what I'm saying? If we really cared, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't really care what you got to say.
Just deal with it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, it's a lot of leaves on that branch, and we can start pulling a lot of them and kind of look at that from different perspectives, and very much so open to look at it from different ways. But you know what we got right now. And we try to deal with that right now, even just talking about our election coming up this year for our United States president, you know. And like you say, when you said, what will people do for a vote? My mind immediately went to folks who run for that office, who run for that seat.
Not just him, bro. Everybody.
Yeah, all of the politics.
I'm like, yo, is the greater of two evils. Which one are you going to go for? I feel like. We're voting to get somebody out. We're not voting to put somebody in that's gonna do change or give us change or give that's us crazy. Whatever we need. We're voting to get someone out of there.
Okay.
So,
but you're voting.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, yeah. Okay. So that's the main thing right there.
Right.
You gotta vote.
That you're voting.
Yeah. You gotta vote.
If for you you're voting this time because it's to vote to get someone out. To get someone else in, okay, got it. But you gotta vote.
Yeah.
Because people have said that right there and said, well, hey, you know, it's just the lesser of two evils, and they don't vote. I don't vote because it's just the lesser of two evils. No, not voting is voting.
Yeah.
Right?
I used to be that type of person, be like, bro, I'm not going to vote.
Not by yourself.
Vote don't even matter. Yeah.
By yourself. I was that way for a long time.
Yeah.
Until I started seeing, wait a minute now, me not voting, I'm helping.
Yeah.
I'm helping them out.
Man.
Yeah. And if I don't vote, I just need to be quiet.
Yeah, I can't say nothing, right?
Can't say anything. Nobody cares about how you feel about something if you don't vote.
Right, right.
It doesn't matter which way you vote, but you have to vote.
Definitely.
You got to vote. And that's why even now we're pushing on voting and get the vote out. And we want people to understand that our right to vote as African Americans, I don't know if that's what y'all want to be called. I call myself black.
Yeah, I'm black.
As a black person, my right to vote, you know, that was on the shoulders of many people who came before me who provided that for me. So I don't want to squander that away at all. Yeah, I want to do my due diligence and get out there and vote.
Definitely. He worked hard for it, so we might as well.
Can't let them down. That's right.
It's needed.
They gave their life. That's a sacrifice, yo.
Right.
You know,
right.
That's right.
Squander it for what? Like,
exactly. All right. We're going to hit one more topic, and then I'm gonna let y'all go. And this one here is I just want you guys to, I don't want to use the word sell, but even if it's a testimony, your reach, your testify, your testimony, your draw to not only your peers, but anyone out there, anyone listening to you right now, if you were given that elevator speech, 30 seconds, a minute, however long you need to encourage them to follow Christ, to encourage them to give their life to Christ, to get saved and to begin to live righteously before a soon coming king. If I gave you that platform, Brother Antonio, how would you take advantage of that opportunity?
Go ahead, bro.
That's crazy.
Yes, sir.
And remember now, your circle of people, we can look at your circle of friends, right? Other musicians, other people your age, people you go to school with, people you work with, people you've known, whatever the case may be. If you had that platform and now God is saying, okay, this is what I have for you. I want you to rightfully, righteously influence these people to seek after me.
Well, God already loves you and he knows you. So, and you know what you should be doing pretty much. So, I mean, it's just a matter of coming and doing it for real, you know who God is to you, and he's gonna love you no matter what you do.
Yeah, but I done so much stuff, man. I done.
He's still gonna love you. That's why he gave God. I mean, Jesus on the cross. That was his sacrifice. He gave his only begotten son for your sins. So anything you do is already.
Yeah, man. But you don't know my life, man. I used to be a thief. You don't know my life.
Bro, he's gonna forgive you. I promise you. Like, you can read his word, pray, talk to him. He's gonna talk back to you. You keep praying to him. He's gonna talk back to you at some point.
All right.
He's always looking out for you. You probably was gonna be drawn here. Like, he knows your life. Like, he knows your story. Like, you was meant to be here.
All right. So, all right. Our brother Josh, same scenario.
Well, what I've told people, because I've actually had conversations, you know what I'm saying, like this. And, what I do, just be real, you know what I'm saying? Just be real. Like, God, like you said, God loves you, you know what I'm saying? I don't care what you've done, you know what I'm saying? That preacher, he probably done worse, you know what I'm saying? That evangelist, that you think are so high and mighty, I promise you they're just as bad as you, if not worse. We are all dirty. We are all dirty. You know what I'm saying? We are nothing. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Without God, we are nothing. You know
a
what I'm saying?
A wretch undone.
So, you feel me? So it's like, just try them. You know what I'm saying? You done tried everything else. You know what I'm saying? You done tried that. You done tried this. You done tried, you know what I'm saying? You done tried all that. Just try them. You know what I'm saying? And one thing I'm glad you said was read your word. You know what I'm saying? I always tell people, like, before I even have any conversation about, like, why people don't go to church, like, oh, I hate, especially people our age, like, oh, I don't like going to church, blah, but like he mentioned earlier, like, our people our age really don't like going to church, you know what I'm saying? And partially I understand, but other part, I'm like, nah, bro, you really need to get in there, though, like, but I always tell them, like, don't let people, you know what I'm saying, ruin your relationship with God, because people don't got nothing to do with your relationship with God, you know what I'm saying? You cannot let people ruin. I'm sorry. When I'll be apologizing, I'm not going to lie, because I'm a church kid, I'm an average church, but I'm a, you know what I'm saying, I take church, You know what I'm saying? Going to church very strong, you know what I'm saying? Very heavy, you know what I'm saying? So I always apologize. I'm like, I'm so sorry for, like, you know what I'm saying? Whatever you went through, because I know church people can be very trifling, you know what I'm saying? But it's just try him, you know what I'm saying? Read the word and try him. And I promise, like you said, just talk to him. Tell him. I promise you, he will. He will not fail you. Like, I promise to you, 100% out of 100%, he will come through every single time, no matter what you do. You know what I'm saying? So just try him. That's it.
Yeah. I appreciate that candidness, you know, to let people know that, you know, church folk, you know, they aren't any better quality of people than anyone else.
We all on the same playing field.
Who makes us a royal priesthood is the fact that we have Christ on the inside, the Holy Spirit on the inside.
That we're his children.
The fact that we're his children. He's the one that makes us great. He's the one that makes us victorious. And outside of him, too. Say again?
Yeah, say he made them great too.
And he made them great too.
You're just a lost sheep, and he's going to get you. You're going to get that one. Yeah. We're good. You're not worried about us. He's going to come and get you because you're the one that needs to be talked to. You're the one
looking
that needs
for
to be
you. Waiting.
Waiting for you with open arms.
I like that. I like that. All right, Brother Josh, Brother Antonio, hey, what a blessing it was to have you guys on the BTSL podcast today. Yes, we definitely thank you for being with us. And I want to just shout out there to all the Generation Z's, Generation Y, Generation X, baby boomers, to everybody. Living that saved life is for everyone. It's an attraction. I had a person on the other day that says the saved life is the best life. When you think you are living and you're not saved, that's exactly what it is. You think you are living. But when you get saved, you really recognize and realize the awesomeness of God in our lives to do miraculous things that no other power could do but him. I'm grateful for the young brothers being on the show today. And I just want to let them know that just keep on striving, keep on thriving, keep on keeping on, because the race isn't given to the swift. It's not given to the strong, but it's given to the one that endures to the end. So guys, once again, thank y'all for coming on BTSL.
I appreciate you.
And hopefully we'll be able to have another conversation.
Definitely.
Dig a little deep into some topics. Definitely. That will be you know, some hot topics coming up here shortly.
Anytime.
But once again, thanks again. So BTSL family, y'all know what time it is. Until we meet again, I need you to get busy telling somebody about that saved life. We're out of here.